Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan, as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received during the week in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. Lots of political activity over the weekend as Democrats and Republicans hold their county conventions to select delegates to their state confabs in Grand Rapids next month. In both camps, the question of party leadership is a matter of paramount importance, with a selection at Grand Rapids of chairman of the state central committees. Last week, we mentioned the cherry pie baking contest, which will be held in the counties of Western Michigan for the most part early next month. However, Branch County already has selected its winner. She's Mary Edna Graham of Noble Township and a senior in the Bronson High School. She won first place among 10 Branch County contestants, says the Bronson Journal. She, like the other winners, will get a free trip to Grand Rapids to compete with county winners from all over the state for the state prize on February the 11th. By the way, the Centerville Observer tells the details of the scoring card that's used in this cherry pie baking contest, analyzing what makes a good cherry pie. Even golden brown color, 15%. Surface smooth and not wrinkled or cracked, 5%. Crust, flaky crisp, thin, tender, not soggy or doughy, 20%. Crust must have tasty flavor, 10%. Flavor of filling should be pleasing cherry, 15%. Consistency of filling, smooth and not watery, 15%. Poise and personality of contestant, 2%. Well, if this reporter were to make the scorecard, it would read, "How the pie tastes, 100%. The farmers of Western Michigan have certainly been busy this last week or two. Better than 30,000 of them and their families have been attending Farm Week at Michigan State College during the past few days. And I've noticed in several papers news about farm implement dealers throwing a big party for the farm folk and showing off their wares. The Vicksburg Commercial, for example, tells about three of these affairs in that town. At one of them last Tuesday, 550 farm folks turned out to eat a big ham dinner and see the free movies at the local theater. The Christian Rural Overseas Program has been winding up its activities during the past 2 weeks. The Climax Crescent tells of the dedication of a car of wheat shipped by Kalamazoo County farmers from Climax on Friday. Our farm editor, Carl Collin, was scheduled to give a report on crop collections in the whole Middle West over the Columbia Network yesterday, but a special broadcast about that hay lift in the West crowded his contribution out of the program. He will report, however, 2 weeks, hence on February 12th. On Columbia's Country Journal, Saturday at 2:30 p.m. One of the speakers at the dedication at Climax last Friday was Monsignor Hackett, and we bring you now by tape recording an excerpt from his remarks.
It's a great privilege to participate in the county organization of sending food to the hungry people overseas. It seems to me that our strongest weapon is not science, nor is it hatred, nor is it pride, or any of the weaknesses to which human nature is liable. Our strongest weapon is the charity that God has placed in the human heart, whereby he cannot be indifferent to the sufferings of his fellow men. I hope that this gift of food will help to bind up the wounds, to comfort and solace those who have suffered from man's inhumanity to man. I ask God's blessing upon the food producers of this county, upon all those who participated, and upon all those who received these blessed gifts."
That was Monsignor John R. Hackett speaking at the dedication of a carload of wheat from Kalamazoo County ready for shipment to Europe at Climax last Friday. The toll of life and injuries from automobile accidents reflected each week in the papers that I read continues to be appalling. The Cassopolis Vigilant last week told of one death and 8 injuries in that locality from automobile accidents in a single week. A very prominent and highly esteemed citizen of Western Michigan, Floyd Starr, head of the Starr Commonwealth for Boys near Albion, was injured in an automobile collision in Detroit last week, according to the Charlotte Republican Tribune. Mothers of 2 youths involved in a fatal accident at Three Rivers a week ago Friday wrote a letter to the editor of the Three Rivers Commercial last week suggesting that some sort of civic recreation center be established so that young people won't have to spend their free time in pool rooms or beer taverns. One of the youths, Herschel Moore, 20, died of injuries suffered in this accident, and the second young man, Frank Maines, also 20, has been charged with manslaughter. Maines was driving when their car ran into the rear of a parked semi-trailer truck. These people who serve the drinks to our boys and girls are more guilty than the young people themselves, the letter says. Editorial comment in the papers this week told of the meeting of the Michigan Press Association at Lansing last weekend. Comment seems to indicate that young Governor G. Menon Williams made quite a favorable impression on the editors, most of whom are confirmed Republicans. Earl Davidson in the Coldwater Daily Reporter tells that when D. Hale Brake, our state treasurer and also a candidate for the Republican gubernatorial nomination in 1950, was introduced to the editors, Senator Don Vanderwerp of Fremont, the Toastmaster, remarked that he was born in Newaygo County and was very highly regarded around Fremont. In fact, Vanderwerp added, folks in Fremont have been considering putting up a sign on the main street reading, Brake slept here. Well, later on, Governor Williams came to the microphone and quipped, all I've got to say is, when I get through in Lansing, nobody's going to put up a sign on the main street reading, Williams slept here. The editors heard a thoughtful address by one of the editors of the Christian Science Monitor, in which the speaker discussed the rebuilding of the Republican Party. There was quite a bit of editorial comment, too, last week on the problem of changing the formula for the distribution of gasoline and weight tax revenues by the state. The southern part of the Lower Peninsula, with 84% of the population and 86% of the cars, gets only 50% of these revenues. Said the Sturgis Journal, too many concrete roads have been built to isolated hunting lodges in the northern woods. Before the representatives or senators vote on a gas tax increase, they should make an honest endeavor to readjust the distribution formula. And now here is my colleague, Harry Travis, with some of the stories in the news.
The Middleville Sun reports that 13 is no jinx for Mr. and Mrs. Robert Smith, who live at Green Lake. They left for California on December 13th and returned January 13th, and they were all safe and sound. They found California a bit chilly, however, which brings to mind an item we saw in the Grand Rapids Herald to the effect that the red flannel town of Cedar Springs has shipped some of its red underwear to California recently. From the Hastings Banner comes news that the vocational agriculture student at Delton High School recently debated the topic, resolved that the pen-type dairy barn is better adapted to the farms of Michigan than the stanchion type. Well, the debate went off all right, but when the judges decided for the negative, there was a near riot. In his column in the Allegan News, John Axe defines chivalry as follows. He says, chivalry is a man's inclination to defend a woman from every man but himself. Our friend Clyde Weatherwax of the Marshall Evening Chronicle says he's all through with beards. He was one of the promoters of the Marshall Whisker Derby last summer, and he's been urged to do it again, he said in one of his columns this week, but he declined. I still love my family and my home, he says. Some strange names pop up in the papers. Now, the Galesburg Argus, for example, tells about a meeting of an organization called the Lake Kilowatt Farm Bureau Community Group. And the Lowell Ledger recounts news of the Egypt Grange. By the way, you remember that puzzle we had last week from the Lowell Ledger? If a steel band were stretched around the earth at the equator so that it touched the equator everywhere, how much longer would the band have to be a foot above the earth all the way around? Well, David Stiff, a Lowell High School senior, came up with the answer last week. He proved it, and he got a buck for his pains. The answer is 2 times pi, or 6.2832 feet. Now back to Dr. Dunbar.
Thank you, Harry Travis. The Hastings Banner tells that the Consumers Power Company is going to spend $421,000 on extensions and improvements in the Hastings Division during 1949. The banner also relates that a group of teachers from Berry and Ionia counties will spend next weekend at Clear Lake Camp learning about how to teach conservation. The Belding Banner News tells that the Rotary Club there is sponsoring a father-son banquet on Wednesday, February 9th, with the football teams of Belding and Greenville as guests of honor. The speaker is going to be Coach Benny Oosterbaan of Michigan, but the affair also will be the occasion for a get-together of some of the football greats who have played on past University of Michigan teams way back when. Ionia last week had a snow queen, all elected in the person of Miss Joy Frey of Saranac. Last night there was a big ball in her honor, and she was scheduled to be crowned this afternoon. But all week long, according to the Ionia Sentinel Standard, the promoters worried about the lack of snow. Toward the close of the week, after spring weather and rain and ice and sleet, the snow came at last. So Queen Joy will probably be crowned according to schedule this afternoon. More about it on the late news in just a few moments. The affair is planned as an annual event to promote winter sports in the Ionia area. In Charlotte, the Republican Tribune tells that the trustees of the United Brethren Church complained that folks attending their services got tickets for violating the parking laws, whereas visitors from Grand Ledge who broke every law in the book on parking while attending a basketball game weren't pinched. The city fathers pondered long on the problem, got nowhere. The Marshall Evening Chronicle printed last week a long report by the committee which was appointed to investigate the recent student strike at Homer. The recommendation was made that the contract of Superintendent L.M. Wade not be renewed. The lengthy findings at least show that the citizens of Homer are beginning to take a greater interest in their school problems. Another item from the Marshall Evening Chronicle tells of the organization of a foreman's training course in the city with 46 registrations. It's part of the cooperative program being carried on by the Chamber of Commerce at Marshall and Michigan State College. You've all heard about Clarence Buddington Kellen's famous character, Scattergood Baines. Well, in Sturgis, there's a real man named Scattergood, Harry E. Scattergood. And the Sturgis Journal tells that he's been in business for Sturgis, in Sturgis for 37 years. The Waterbleat Record tells us that a prize of $10 is awaiting the person who offers the best name for the town's new hospital. And also over in Berrien County, the Coloma Courier announces a novel tourist attraction at Pawpaw Lake. It's a game farm where resorters and others can see and photograph wild animals. A fellow named Cecil Potts already has European and Asiatic deer, caracule, guanaco, and other animals for the 18-acre park he's constructed in a wooded area. The Allegan Gazette says that a lot of attention is being given to that $5,500 new home in Allegan, which was constructed to demonstrate methods of building low-cost housing. And now, here's the late news of the state and the weather forecast. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll be back next Sunday at this same time with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.